الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد يا ايها الذين امنوا يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القران الكريم اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كنتم خير امه اخرجت للناس تامرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو امن اهل الكتاب لكان خير منهم المؤمنون واكثرهم الفاسقون ويقول الله عز وجل مقاتلوا في سبيل الله الذين يقاتلونكم ولا تعتدوا ان الله لا يحب المعتدين كنتم خير امه اخرجت للناس كنتم خير امه اخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو امن اهل الكتاب لكان خير لهم منهم المؤمنون واكثرهم الفاسقون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من راى منكم منكر فيغيره بيد فإن لم يستتر فبلساني فإن لم يستتر فبلسان في قلبي وذلك تعرف الإيمان والحمد لله رب العالمين My beloved brothers and sisters, in this day, in this day of gathering, Yom al-Jum'ah, we praise our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are not too arrogant to praise Him, to prostrate to Him, to bow for Him, to make our tongues praise His name. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us another day to worship Him. We will thank Allah that He gave us another day to worship Him. We bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger and His servant. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of ourselves, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless His messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam and his companions and his family. Brothers and sisters, my advice today to the leaders of the Muslims throughout the world, those who call themselves kings, those who call themselves presidents and prime ministers, the ulama, the scholars of Islam, the a'imma, the imams of Muslim organizations, of masjids, myself, to those of you who own businesses, to those of you principals of schools, school teachers, parents, I give advice today to every Muslim everywhere. In the words of these hip-hop generations, they have a statement among them, keep it real. But they don't know what real is. Allah ul-haq. Allah is the truth. Allah is the reality. And unless you follow this Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet of Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will never be able to keep it real. Al-Islam is real. And everything from Quran and Sunnah is real. So keep it real means to follow Quran and Sunnah. If you don't follow Quran and Sunnah, your words are empty. Keep it real. Today's khutbah is based on the ayat of Quran. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas. You're the best of the ummah. Evolve for mankind. You enjoin what is right and you forbid what is evil. And you believe in Allah. And had the people of the book believed, it would have been better for them. Some of them are believers, but most of them are evildoers. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, whoever among you sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. And if he's unable to change it with his hand, then let him change it with his tongue. And if he's unable to change it with his tongue, then let him change it with his heart, and that is the weakest of faith. This is hadith, that everyone knows this hadith. Strange enough, brothers and sisters, the motivation for this hadith, subhanAllah, came when I wasn't looking for it. I was studying what's called the Nahwa, Arabic grammar, and I was studying what is referred to Jumlatul Shartiyya. Jumlatul Shartiyya, conditional sentence. And so the author of the book gave an example of a conditional sentence. And subhanAllah, sometimes wisdom comes from a place you're not looking for it. I wasn't studying the Quran. I wasn't studying hadith. I was studying Arabic grammar. So the author teaching us conditional sentences, and he gave us an example. And subhanAllah, listen to the example he gave. I wrote it down. He said, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تُطُعَ فَطْلُوبْ مَا يُسْتَطُعُ. SubhanAllah. The meaning of this sentence, this conditional sentence that is given to us as an example, if you want to be obeyed, then only request that which is possible. This is not hadith. It's not Quran. It's not even the words of Sahaba. It's not even the words of some great philosopher. But I was touched by this sentence, and it put my mind in so many ayats of Quran and hadith of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And I like to use this to help guide all of us, inshallah. Parents, the greatest struggle for Muslims, to me in America, one of the greatest struggles is to raise up your children and have them be Muslim. In New York City, in America, if you have one child, two, five, or ten, if all of them die as a Muslim, you're very happy. But if they leave the deen of Islam, you are very sad. And I don't care how much education your children get, how many universities they graduate from, how many degrees they get. They are nothing if they get all the degrees and then leave Islam. So, for a parent, who would love their children to be doctors and scientists, and oh yes, there's nothing wrong with that. But not at the expense of losing their deen and losing in al-akhirah, the hereafter. So therefore, every parent, every imam, every school teacher, Every leader of a nation, if he's sincere, wants the people to be guided by Quran and Sunnah. Right? Of course. But where do we go off? SubhanAllah. Let's keep it real. I've heard over the years speakers like yourself. I've heard speakers and they talk all of this stuff. A lot of it good, alhamdulillah. Some of it irrelevant. But how do you keep it real? And that's what I would like to attempt in a few minutes this afternoon, inshallah. I want to first ask all of you, I hope to remember at the end of the khutbah, to make dua for one of our brothers. I haven't had a chance to speak to you about it yet since I've been traveling, and that is Imam Jamil Al-Amin of Atlanta, Georgia, who's now in jail in prison, accused of murdering some policemen in Atlanta, Georgia. This is not the brother that we know about at all. I know him personally. And this doesn't sound like the brother that we know for over 3 decades. A leader among Muslims and a very disciplined person. So we make dua for Allah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will protect him in that prison and guard him and help him. And inshallah, we will be going to speak to him, going to visit him, and help him in any way that we can. We started a defense fund for Imam Jamil, and we're working toward his defense. We hired lawyers. We had press conference last week, and I want to let you know that we're working for our brother, Imam Jamil Al-Amin. So I don't want you to forget about him in your dua. And always be careful about the media, not to take the side of the media until you first get the information for yourself. Don't make judgments without getting all the facts. So we hope that we will accumulate the facts so that we can share it with the brothers and sisters to the Muslims in this country and around the world, inshallah. I want to also to remind you, in case I forget, this Monday, we are going to have a massive press conference in this masjid. We expect all the major media to be here. And every one of you is invited. Over the last 8 weeks, we had at least 12 occasions where the police have come and surrounded the masjid with their hands on the gun, saying that they got a telephone call that some policeman is in this masjid shot. So they came to investigate. And alhamdulillah, every time they came, the brothers were very strong and very patient. We told them the procedure. They know they want to check out something. They have to get one of their officials, a ranking officer, a sergeant or lieutenant. So the brothers were very nice. They said, yes, you can come take a look. But 12 times. Then we found out that as we had an imam's meeting Wednesday night here in the masjid, we get word, a phone call from Masjid Ikhwa. Same thing happened to them. The police surround the masjid saying they got a phone call, somebody in the masjid, a policeman in the masjid shot. Then we find out Masjid Farooq, same thing happened to them twice. How many other masjids now are they doing this? Is this some kind of plot or conspiracy by them or someone wanting to instigate a conflict between the Muslims and the police? What is it? Allah knows, but we're going to make it public. This Monday, inshallah, all of you are invited. All the imams of New York City, inshallah, will be here. And we will make a statement to the press. And because when these things happen, we don't want it to be a secret. We want the whole world to know about it. So that we let them know. And whenever it happened, we call the priests and say, listen, they're coming again and again. The same thing over and over again. We're lodging our complaints with the right people. It's documented. And we want the world to know in case something happened. At least we put everybody on notice. This is the stuff that's happening. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm just going to take a few moments with this. You know, never underestimate anything that we do as a Muslim. For example, there's one Sahaba, I don't want to give you his name yet, I want to keep you in suspense, that he said something that one of the other companions questioned. He mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said, and I'll just give you the paraphrase of it, about making wudu. He said that when you make wudu correctly, every time you wash your mouth out, all the sins that your mouth has committed falls down when the water comes out from you. Now that's good to know. How many sins have we committed with our mouths? To know that every time you make wudu, the sins that you committed from your mouth falls out of your mouth. When you wash your nose, the sins that is committed by the nose, it falls out. Washing of the face, similarly, the hair, the hands. When you wash your hands correctly, when you make wudu, as the water drips from your hands, the sins that your hands committed also falls down from your hands. And similarly, your feet, the crimes that your feet have committed. And then when you go, he said, to make the salat, this is his report, a sahaba reporting from the Prophet. When you go make the salat, and you make the salat correctly, and when you finish the salat, it's as if you were born a baby that day. All those sins were washed from you. Now, one of the sahaba, Abu Umama, he said, be careful what you're narrating. So this particular sahaba, I'm not going to tell you his name yet. I'm going to keep you in suspense for a minute. Be careful what you relay from the Messenger of Allah. In other words, all these rewards you're getting for just that. And he said, listen, I'm an old man and I'm right at the point of death. I'm not going to lie on Allah and His Messenger. And if I only heard this hadith one time, two times, three times, up to seven times, I wouldn't have said it. But I heard it more than that from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this authentic hadith. Who is this person? This person is a man, I remember last year, and subhanAllah, you know, when you talk, when you look at the people, you see the expressions on their faces. When I give you an ayah from Quran or hadith, I know the expression on your faces. When I say something, I see when it's acceptable on your faces and when it's not acceptable. Because the face, it mirrors how you feel. And sometimes you can't hide it. And I mentioned a hadith and I noticed the faces of some of you. I'm going to look at you now and see the difference of your face now and the difference of your face then. Because I remember how you responded when I said it. All right. Let me tell you who the man is. Abu Najih Amr ibn Abasa. You may not know him, but he's very interesting sahaba. In the very beginning, this man in the days of Jahiliyyah, he used to hate people worshiping idols, and he used to stay away from that. And then this man heard about a man in Mecca who was teaching about a new religion. This man was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this man, Abu Najah, went to visit the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He started asking him some questions. He said, and at that time, this is really in the beginning of the mission. He says, Ma anta? Who are you? What are you? قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنَا نَبِيٌّ I am a prophet. قُلْتُ I said, مَا نَبِيٌّ What is a prophet? قَالَ أَرْسَلَنِي اللَّهُ Allah sent me. قُلْتُ I said, بِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ أَرْسَلَكَ With what were you sent? And the prophet said, I've been sent to keep the ties of relationships and to break the idols and to worship only one God and to associate no gods with him. This man is asking these questions. This man, Abu Najih, Amr ibn al-Basa. And then he said, Qultu, I said, فَمَنْ مَأَكَ أَلَّا هَذَا Who's with you on this religion of yours. Who's with you? Because hey? You want to know who's also one of these people. Qala, he said, Harun wa Abdun, a free man and a slave. And it was said at that time, only Abu Bakr and Bilal ibn Rabah were followers. Two people. a free man, Abu Bakr, and a slave, Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhuma. And then he said something very interesting. He said, Inni muttabi'uka. I want to follow you. And he said, you cannot do it now. You don't have the ability to do it now. Go back to your people. And when you hear the success of my mission and word, then you can come and join me. Now, remember when I said that, I looked on your faces like, why would the, here's a man coming to join him, and the prophet said, no, you can't do it. And send him back. Go back. Go back to your people. He wasn't living in Mecca. This man wasn't living in Mecca. He said, go back to your people. And I used to wonder about this hadith. And now, alhamdulillah, this is the same man who later on, after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, migrated from Mecca to Medina and the Prophet began to grow. This man began to hear about the success of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and then he went to Mecca and he joined the Prophet. And this is the same man who narrated this long hadith about the wudu. What happened, you say? If the Prophet, when he came to join the Prophet, he says, no, go back. And the man went back and died. You say, what would happen? He would have died a Muslim. And I dare anyone to defy me in this point. Yeah. The Prophet didn't say, don't be Muslim. He wanted to follow him, but the Prophet kept it real. What did the Prophet see in this man to say, no, you can't follow me yet? One or two things. A, something that the Prophet saw, or something Allah revealed. No matter how you look at it, if Allah revealed it, or if the Prophet felt it, Allah's concern and the concern of the Prophet was that this man have the ability to follow him and don't come unless you're ready. Keep it real. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something that I've learned. This conditional sentence was right. You want to be obeyed by your children? You have to know your children. Don't order them to do things that they can't do. If you imam of the people, don't order the people to do something that they're not ready for or the foundation is not yet there. Our problem, I submit to you, is not what our children do, not what the followers do per se. But our problem is that the foundation isn't there. Teach any subject. Teach mathematics. Have your students in front of you. Try to teach them calculus. Watch the perplexity on their faces. They can't understand the calculus. Something is missing. What's missing? Trigonometry is missing. Geometry is missing. What's missing? Arithmetic is missing. Because you can't do calculus if you don't have the foundation. Brothers, my African-American brothers, my immigrant brothers, my Hispanic brothers, Latino brothers, who took Shahada in this country, listen carefully. I've heard us around the country criticizing our immigrant brothers. We criticize them. Oh, they're so weak, they're this and they're that, they want the green card, they want this and they want that. And perhaps I was among those criticizing. But today I think differently. I understand their condition, and their condition is not like my condition. And you in leadership position have to understand that when the brothers come from a country and come to America, then they're very, very sensitive and they have to be very careful how they move. Because they're not in the same position as you who are here and born in this country. They're not the same. And you have to understand it. Don't look at them that they're no good and they're weak. Yes, man. Yes, they're weak because of conditions. And you have to be wise enough how to help them so that they and us can also grow together. I close with this. Why did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam say, من رعى منكم منكم فيغيره بيدي. If you see an evil, change it with your hand. Stop. I know you all criticize leadership. You should. Yes. You want to criticize King Fahd? Okay, fine. You want to criticize Husni Mubarak? Fine, do it. You want to criticize Assad? Do it. You want to criticize Gaddafi and the other one? You know what I'm talking about. Iraq, Saddam Hussein. You want to criticize them? Fine. You have a right to do it. You want to criticize the United States of America? You want to criticize Clinton? Go ahead and do it. You're right. You want to criticize Israel? Go on and do it. You want to criticize the ulama? Criticize them. You want to criticize the imams of the masjids? Yes, criticize them. Yes, you have a right to do it. If you can't change it with your hand, change it with your tongue. Speak out against it. I think it's wrong. Good, do it. Yes, do it. Very good, do it. And if you can't change it with your tongue, change it with your heart. And that is the weakest of faith, but do it. But I make one request of you. While you criticize Husni Mubarak, and while you criticize the other ones, while you criticize Imam Siraj and other A'imma in New York City and around the country, when you criticize all the scholars, do it. But I ask you one request. At the same time, criticize yourself. You see, if you want to implement this hadith, whoever sees the wrong should change it with their hands. I'm going to change it with my hands. I don't like what I see. Fine. But I'm asking you, you be the first one that you change your own habits with your own hands, with your own deeds. Stop yourself from drinking wine and smoking reefer. Stop yourself from committing adultery. Stop yourself from the backbiting and the slander. Stop yourself first. You want to stop everybody? Look at your own self, man. Oh, they're in charge and look what they're doing. Okay, right. But you're in charge of your family. What are you doing with your own family? Look at your sons and look at your daughters. You want to look at the institutions? You want to look at the school teachers, the teachers in the school? You want to look at the principal? Fine. But what about the principal in your own house? What about your own wife? What about your own children? What about your own self? You want an Islamic state? Fine. Start it in your own apartment. Let me see it in your own apartment. Imam Siraj, I charge the leadership with not establishing the deen. I accept it. When I stand up here, I must accept all of that. But say, Imam Siraj, come to my house. I want you to look at my house. My house is a model. Then I can say, brother, subhanAllah, you did it in your own house. Maybe you can do the same thing here. Maybe if you have the power, if you become the imam, if you become the president, if you become the leader, if you become the school teacher, if you become the principal, if you become the owner of the business, then maybe you do the same thing that you did in your house. You do it there on a larger scale. But don't be so quick to criticize until you first look at your own self first. Whoever sees an evil, change it with his hand. How dare you? How dare you, as wicked as you are? How dare you run around with your mouth and want to criticize everybody but your own self? Fine. You can do it. I accept it. But keep it real. And you know how you keep it real? You know how you test your own sincerity? Check it out on yourself. That's the test. So brothers and sisters, I say this to you as I sit down. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنحون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خير لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون. You are the best ummah evolved for mankind. Why? You enjoin what is good and you forbid what is evil and you believe in Allah. If only the people of the book had believed, it would have been better for them. Some of them are believers.
But most of them are wicked doers. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, I want to finish this, and I want to let you know where I'm coming from. You see, this ummah we have today, we got problems, man. And I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to be very difficult for you to do. Very difficult. You know what I'm going to ask you to do? I'm going to ask you to try to overlook one another. Overlook one another, because we have, man, mountain of faults. We do, all of us. Starting with me. Really. But because of the condition of our ummah, we try our best to grow. You know the difference between this ummah today and the one 1400 years ago? You know the difference? A major difference? I tell you a major difference. Here, countries, organizations, messages are guided by the leaders with their knowledge or lack of knowledge of Quran and Sunnah. Some of them purposely misguide the people. They take them away from Quran and Sunnah. Some leaders, they follow their own nafs. It's true. That's absolutely true. The difference is, in what we have today, the Quran, we have all the chapters of Quran. The whole book is there. Right? Not only that, all of the ahadith is here. Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, Nisa'i, all of these ahadiths are there, right? But 1400 years ago, it wasn't all there. Allah revealed an ayat here, and then a verse here, and then a verse there, over 23 years. Why was Allah revealing this book over 23 years? Because Allah Himself was guiding and directing the ummah every step of the way. And therefore, whatever the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam, was based on Allah's guidance at that moment. And the ayats were real. وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُوا وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مُعْتَدِينَ. And fight in the way of Allah those who fight against you, but don't go beyond the boundaries. Allah loves not those who go beyond the boundaries. It's there in the Quran now. But when this verse was revealed, after 10 years, Muslims were getting beat. Muslims were getting smacked around, and they didn't fight back. They didn't fight back. Why didn't you fight back? You a coward? No! Because my Lord didn't give me permission to fight back yet. What are you gonna do? I'm gonna run. I'm gonna make history. I'm gonna make migration. Why? Because my Lord is guiding me, and He has not guided me to fight back now. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَهُمْ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Now permission is given to those who are fought because they are oppressed. And then, now in the battle of Badr, the battle of Uhud, and all other battles, now, why? Because Allah now tells them to fight back. You see, man, when somebody spit in your face, and you wipe the spit away, and you don't fight them back, not because you're a coward, because you're waiting for the instructions of your Lord. You wipe the spit away. You wipe the dung away. They kick you in the behind, and you do nothing. Because you're not yet given the commandment to fight back. Oh, but when Allah tells you to fight back. And when will Allah tell you to fight back? When He's ready. And when He knows that you are ready. So therefore, the first 10 years, jihad is not even mentioned. There's no jihad. What are we going to do? Aisha radiallahu anha, she said it. And I conclude with this. She's very smart. She's very smart. She gives us a hint. She's young. She learned a lot. She said, the beginning ayats that Allah first sent down was reminded about the Jannah and the Nar. About paradise. About hellfire. Why? Because Allah is working on the foundation. He's building the foundation. You see, the foundation is the most important thing. Make sure the foundation is strong. Therefore, we got to a point where a battle was about to incur, and Sahaba, he take the dates, throw the dates away, he jump in the battle, fight jihad, fi sabilillah. How are you able to do that? How all these men are able to give their lives? Most people are cowards. Most people don't like to fight.
Remember, I don't think we should do that. I don't know about this fighting. Amen. Let's pray. Let's fast, but not fight. Amen.
Most people don't want to fight. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْكِتَالِ وَهُوَ قُرْوَ لَكُمْ. Fighting is prescribed for you and you hate it. You don't like it, you coward, you hate it. You hate fighting. You know why you hate fighting? You hate fighting because you hate death. And you know if you fight, you may be going to die. And one of the major shortcomings of the ummah is the fear of death. You don't want no death. Go through the Quran, I'm telling you, go through the Quran carefully and you find the people went before us, hated death. Each one of them wish they can be given 1,000 years. Hey, if the Jannah is for you, specifically just for you, then wish for death. But they would never wish for death because what their hands have done. You don't want death, you want to live a long time because you love dunya. You love dunya, you love money, you love opulence, you love this world. You love men, you love women, you love gold, but you don't like the hereafter. You don't love Allah, you don't love the messenger, you don't love the deen. And you don't like to fight, because you like to live, because you have little faith in the hereafter. So you know what? We compromise every step of the way of our deen. Compromise. Why? I tell you, because the foundation is not there. So Aisha said, radiallahu anha, the first verses that were revealed, the verses, faith. Faith. And she said, and I quote, لَوْ نَزَلَ أَوَّلُ شَيْءٍ لَتَشْرَبُوا خَمْرًا لَقَالُوا لَنْ نَدَعُوا الْخَمْرَ أَبَدًا. And had Allah first revealed, don't drink wine, the people would have said, we would never give up wine. Had Allah revealed, don't commit zina, don't commit fornication, don't commit adultery, the people would have never given up adultery, never given up zina. Why? Because they haven't been prepared. Allah got to prepare them first. Allah wants them to be successful. Now, all the ayats are there, right? The ayats of wine is there, the ayats of adultery is there, all the ayats are there. Right? So Muslims are committing these things. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? You keep it real? Let me tell you what you do. You go back to the foundation. If you steal, you get your hand chopped off, right? Brother, bring me somebody. Imam Siraj, this person stole. I'm going to take my sword out. Say, listen, you know what the law is. You know what the law is in the Quran, right? You steal, what happens? You get your hand chopped off? Okay, give it up. Now, you know I'm not going to do that. If I do that, I'm wrong, although the Quran says that I'm right. Why? Because the foundation hasn't been established. Because we have to do a lot of things before we can execute the law. The law of Islam was executed after Islam was established in a state. So therefore the leadership has to be aware of where they are. So the Prophet said, he said, listen, when you pray, pray qa'ima, standing. If you can't pray while you're standing, qa'ida, sit down. And if you can't pray while you're sitting, on your side, janb, on your side. Why? Because Allah is always concerned with your condition. And brother, dad, I tell you this, be careful. Now understand what I'm saying. If you want to save your children, be careful. Don't order them to do things that they can't do. Help them to get there. You make that determination, not me, because you know your own children. Right? Catch them where they are. Somebody going to take shahada today. Be careful. They knew what kind of demands were you put on them.
Gotta be careful.
They know. And trust me, if you put the wrong demand on them, they would leave. So the prophet was wise. He told Najih, you can't follow me yet. He knows. He knows. Not yet. And then we found out this was an old man. He was old. Because it was only a few years later when we talked about this hadith. He said, I'm an old man. My bones are dry. And he said, I'm at the death, at the door of death. Why should I lie now against Allah and his messenger? He was an old man. So the prophet is wise. Listen, he looked at him, he sized him up, or Allah revealed to him. He's not ready. You see, brothers and sisters, I'm finished. Listen, you know something? Whenever Allah gives us a commandment, he wants us to do it. Therefore, he doesn't give us a commandment that's too difficult for us to do. Wallahi azim, brothers, I swear by Allah. I swear by Allah. Listen, I remember years ago, I may have told you about this imam. I was new in Islam. And you know, when you're new in Islam, you know, anyone who comes with knowledge, you know, like, they're a scholar. And you accept everything they say. And this man was so strong. He was talking about making salat. And he said, you're supposed to focus in your salat so much that even if a lion comes and you see the lion, you keep making your prayer. Now, I was sitting there, man. I was amazed. Now, he's a graduate of Medina University. And what I know? I'm a new Muslim, right? So I'm saying, yeah, man, but that don't sound real. That's not real, right? So as I'm developing, growing in Islam, I'm studying. And one day I was in the West Coast, I was in California. And we had a program. And we stopped for Salatul Maghrib. And we prayed outside. It was a very nice day, very comfortable. So we prayed outside, right? So I'm in the ranks. Somebody was leading the Salat. I'm in the ranks praying. And I noticed there was a little insect walking through the ranks. And I saw the brothers jumping up. And they were like, oh, not a lion. An insect. Not real, man. It's not real. Islam is real. The prophet is real. Guidance is real. And this is why when the time for Salat comes, and they call Iqama, and food is served, eat the food. This is real. Why? Because you can't think about Allah, focus on Allah, and you're smelling the food while you're praying. Because as you're praying, you're smelling the food, and your mind is here. Your eyes is here, but your mind is on the food. You can't help it, you human being. This is why that's the sunnah. This is why the sunnah is when it's time for prayer, and you have to answer the call of nature. You answer the call of nature. It's real. But you want to make Islam as if Islam is not real. And you got to understand your circumstances. So study the seerah and you'll find dramatic shift in policy based upon circumstances. A time of migration, a time of aqidah, and then a time of fighting. You got to know where you are. And that's the responsibility of leadership. Me here and you as a father and as a mother. And as a principal, and as an owner of business. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen us with knowledge of Quran and Sunnah. Clear knowledge and guidance and wisdom and understanding. Oh Allah, make us understand your guidance and the guidance of your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, guide your leaders aright. Let them guide the people according to your book. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purge the heart of those leaders. Guide them right, and if they don't guide the people right, Allah, remove them and bring someone who will guide us right. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the Muslims around the world, strengthen them. Give them the foundation. And then Allah, make them do your will. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us to love the Quran. Make us to love to read the Quran, to recite the Quran, to memorize the Quran, to teach the Quran, to follow the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help Imam Jamil al-Amin, give him peace, help them to be free. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the Muslims around the world, Ya Allah, who suffer. The Muslims in Palestine, who suffered for a long time, we ask Allah to help them, strengthen them, guide them. We ask Allah